That's zatha, the Hebrew word. It means house of mercy. Many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people gathered around this pool called Bethzatha, hoping to receive mercy. Now, the pool was inside the sheep gate. So the sheep gate and the pool inside it reminded me of Psalm 23 that we reflected on last week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Inside the sheep gate, they wanted to be healed. They wanted to be restored. They wanted mercy. But this pool was anything but a place of mercy. This is what the man said when Jesus approached him. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. There was no one to help him. Everyone was looking after themselves. A place meant for healing became a place without mercy. People gathered because they believed that when the water is stirred up, if you get into the pool when the water is stirred up, then you will be healed. So all sorts of people gathered by this pool, just waiting for it to be stirred up. And once that water was stirred up, getting into that pool became the goal, the thing that people chased after. What is the stirred water for you? What is it that you think will make you well? What is missing in your life that you think will get better if you just get it? Is it good health? Is it money? Is it popularity and praise of others? But will these things truly make you well? All of these things can help. They definitely make life easier. But can they, as we read in the psalm, can they restore your soul and make you well? If we think about it carefully, we put so much effort into these things. We chase whatever your own version of the stirred water is. That's what we do. Obtaining your stirred water, it doesn't make you a bad person. The problem is that your blind pursuit of the stirred water contributes to a merciless world. This is the problem that the ill man faced in today's story. I mean, anytime the water was stirred up, there's a stampede, right? Everyone just clamoring to get into the pool. They were all fixated on the stirred water. So only the fittest and the fastest could get in. This ill man, he was left behind as everyone else got there ahead of him. The ill man shared everyone else's belief that getting into the stirred water would make him better. But because he couldn't get into the pool, that's how he met Jesus, right? Think about it. If he had been able to get into the pool, he would not have met Jesus. Isn't that such wonderful grace? Isn't that the message of the gospel right there? Jesus saw the man. That's how John describes it. Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time. I mean, how do you know just from seeing someone for the first time? I mean, until this time, no one saw him, right? It's almost like he's just part of the background, like invisible. Jesus saw him, and when he looked at him, he knew that he had been there a long time. He knew that he was left behind. He knew that he was invisible. Jesus saw him and made him well with the power of his word. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. At the pool of Bethsaida, Jesus restored mercy. Our sin is not indifference. Our sin is chasing after the stirred water. And that chase makes us blind to the needs of others. And so indifference is the result, not the original sin. Our sin is making the stirred water an idol, a replacement and substitute of God. I think this is why idolatry was the very first commandment that God gave to the Israelites in the desert. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We have made the blind pursuit of stirred water our idol. The stirred water is anything that you believe will make your life better and that you fixate all your eyes on. Thing is, just like this man who had been ill for 38 years, that stirred water, it's elusive. It continues to escape your grasp. There's always more money to be made. There's always better health to achieve. There's always more approval or acceptance to gain. This pursuit, blind pursuit of our stirred water, is what makes this world a less merciful place. It leaves no room for the needs of others. There's no time to stop and help a person in need. The story begins with Jesus going up to Jerusalem for a festival. Right? He could have gone anywhere in Jerusalem. He could have gone to some nice exhibits. I mean, I like festivals, right? There's good foods, you know, you go to the booth, check it out. It's a time that you could go and just enjoy time with your friends and your family. But Jesus, he chose to go to the sheep gate. Think about it. The sheep gate is a wretched place. It's not a happy place. It's packed full of sick people. And it's a place that people wanted to leave as soon as they could. They just want to get into that stirred pool and then get out and never look behind. But Jesus chose to go to that most wretched place. And there, he approached the man who was always left behind. He went to the least among the least. In that most wretched place, the least among them experienced mercy. In that most wretched place, grace and truth were present in Jesus. My friends, When you are in that most wretched place, don't chase the stirring water. Don't create false idols. Seek Jesus. Hear Him knocking at your door. Hear His voice asking if you want to be made well. Receive the grace and healing that only Jesus can give. In our first song, we sang, "You are the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and our souls are made well only in Him. As I was preparing for this sermon, I realized that it's exactly 5 years since I got ordained as a minister at this church. Well, yesterday was exactly 5 years. 5 years. They've flown by. I mean, we had a wonderful ordination service for Reverend Dave last month, and so I was reminded of mine too. I still remember it. It was one of the happiest days of my life. And it was such a joy because I was able to be ordained in this church. Because I am so thankful for this church, this community. It was this church that welcomed me back into faith. It was the place I was able to wrestle with my own calling. And many of you were there at that retreat when I shared the testimony of my calling. I mean, I cherish that. This has been the place where I experienced so much joy in my ministry as a youth pastor first. It's a place I've met so many wonderful, beautiful people, all of you. All of you whose support I feel through prayers and your service. And I remember during the dark days of COVID, many of you pulled together to keep our community strong. I appreciate everything this community is. I am so thankful for it. And I know that many of you appreciate it too. I often hear comments like, "Oh, I love this community and I really appreciate it." But as I reflected, I realized something. The community can become the stirred water that we chase after. We can fall in love with the community and forget about God. The community can become an idol that replaces God. And so instead of seeking God, I seek after the comfort of the community. It was a piercing revelation to me, which made me, I must confess and ask whether I too have been complicit in making the community the center over God. My friends, the community is a gift from God. God has given it to us so that we can experience the grace of God, the love of God. But it cannot replace God. And I was beginning to reflect back. I mean, ministry, all the joys I've talked about are so true. But it also has been so challenging in many ways. In the midst of all the joy have been many personally difficult moments. And when I look back on these most wretched times, yes, the community helped. But ultimately, it is God who helped me. It is Jesus who took me out of the miry depths and set me back upon a rock. It is Jesus who made me well when I was unwell. And certainly, God used people in the community to help me through an encouraging word. An act of kindness. Yes, these things lifted me up. But only Jesus can restore your soul and make you well. And so this is my prayer. Dear God, now that 5 years have passed, in the next 5 years of my ministry, I want to make Jesus the absolute center. Nothing else. The center. So that we can be a living body of Christ, shaped in the likeness of Christ, to learn the teachings of Christ, to be fashioned after His heart and His mind. Jesus Christ at the very center. I want the Word of God to be central in all that we do, all that we think. I want this church to be a house of mercy. Bethzatha was a place where sick people congregated and gathered. My friends, we are all sick people in need of healing. We are all sinners who need forgiveness. I want this church to be a place where sinners come to seek the mercy of Jesus. A place where we can experience the grace and mercy of Jesus. A place where we see the suffering and needs of others, just like Jesus did. A place where Jesus lives in us and where we can be the presence of Jesus for one another. That's what I want this church to be. My friends, let us repent and turn away from chasing stirred water. Turn toward and seek Jesus with all your heart. In everything you do, seek Him. He will make you well.